Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Changes. We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm your humble host, Kel Fritzy. Friday evening. I hope everybody had a great week. Gosh. Okay, I have these brand new teeth and I still don't know what to do with them. But hey, everybody, I'm glad that you're all here and that you are listening to the ramblings of a mad fox. What's on the plate today? Well, you know what? What isn't on the plate today? I do want to share with you that Jim from Boston will be here a little later on, unless he's on dish duty. As you know, Jim is a very instrumental voice in the counter jihad movement, and he is a wonderful contributor to the program. If he's not here tonight, there's only one reason, and that he got called into work. So if he's not here tonight, there is a reason for that. The guy works for a living. Hello. But hopefully Jim has the hours off in which he can be here later on. There are a lot of things, though, that I want to discuss with you. But first and foremost, I want to thank you guys a lot. Tim Burton, as you know, is my Monday co-host on the Red Fox Blogger. We have now embarked on a new endeavor, and that is co-hosting together on the Radio Jihad Network, in which we are the freedom-loving infidels. Her Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that show made page one. You folks really went out of your way to listen to us and to offer your unconditional support in that was our debut show, and it went very well. We had so many callers that night. It was phenomenal. So, guys, thank you. Thank you for that. On behalf of Tim and myself, my goodness. And we will be back next Tuesday on the Radio Jihad Network, where our guest will be Vlad Tepes. So there he is. Something I want to mention as well is that I'm very humbled by your support of the East Anglian EDO radio show. And, of course, the host is Jeff Mitchell. I'm the tech producer there and one of the panelists, along with Tommy English and Tim Burton and Michael Green. The support for that radio program, it makes me very proud. I have been producing for Jeff going on for 2 years now. And to see people filing into his chat room, being an archive, and consistently putting that program on page one makes us realize that people are eager for the news when it comes to the counter-jihadist movement. You're making Mike Holt, Restore Australia, part of your life as well. Mike Holt sits quite handily on the top pages as well. That's a show I produce, Restore Australia with Mike Holt. He is another counter-jihadist. I want to thank you for that as well. I also want to thank you for supporting The Cross in the Desert with your host, Randy L. Noble, another show I produce once a month on the Red Fox Blogger. All of you are out there, and you're listening to what we have to say. We have a message, and we have a missive to get out there and to share. People are very, very anxious about the issue called Islam, and we are conveying it, and I hope that we are doing it in a manner in which you can understand and dissect what Islam is. We're not Muslim bashers. We don't hate Muslims. My personal opinion, I pity the poor Muslim under the thumb of the political entity called Islam. All I want to offer you in my own humble corner here at the Red Fox Blogger with your little Cal Fritzy, the Mad Fox, is to convey to you what is going on within the realm called Islam. I just want to explain to you their ambitions. I want to explain to you how this is counter to the West, and that inviting Islam into the West will be a fatal blow to our society as we know it at this point. That's why I am so heavily embedded in all of these fine radio programs. A lot of people say, do you ever sleep? Well, you know, I kind of do. Yeah. Well, okay, I kind of don't. But no, there are way too many important issues out there. And the more voices we have, the better fuels me. Yes, I do sleep. Of course I sleep. I have to sleep. If I don't sleep, I die, right? I do. But I'm in a position of luxury where I'm semi-retired, and I can do all of these radio programs and bring perspectives to you. That is fortunate for me because it is a lot of time. It's very time-consuming. When I put together a radio program, whether it be for Jeff or for Mike or Tim and myself are working on something, there can be 4 hours of research, and that might make 20 minutes to air. There is a lot of work involved there. I have the blog, Red Fox Blogger, blogspot.com. Tim has his blog. Mike has his blog. We're very busy counter-jihadists, but we do it because we care about the future of our children. We care about our legacy. We do not want the memories of our men and women in the military who fought on our behalf to enjoy the freedoms that we celebrate today. I really do, though, appreciate your time that you take out of your own busy days to be here. You listen. You're here. There are people here in my chat room. They don't have to be here. They're here because they have faith in me. They know I have something that I want to convey and share, and they go out of their way to be here in my chat room. People who download the show when it's ready for archive, and you put me in your podcast and in your pocket and take me to work with you or on the road with you, we appreciate that. It means a lot to us. I have people like my sweet Sue from New Mexico, who retweets all the programs for all of us, and who is listening, is sitting beside me right now, my sweet Sue from New Mexico. Jeff always says, if there was no you, there would be no us. And he's right. It's because of you that you continue the message that you hear on our respective radio programs, and you carry it forth, and you share them, and you let people know around the water cooler. What did you hear on Restore Australia last night? Didn't Mike bring up a really interesting point? Or Jeff Mitchell of East Anglian, or Kel Fritzy of Red Fox Blogger, or Tim Burton of Red Fox Blogger, and Tim and Kel of freedom-loving infidels. All of us have perspectives. All of us share with you everything. Before I go any further, though, I am delving in some regarding accommodation, but there is also another fine gentleman who is gracing the chat room right now. That is Holger. Holger Awakens. He is another counter-jihadist. He comes on the airwaves Saturday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He won't be here this Saturday. Holger is a very busy man. However, he is going to be back here January 25th with another fellow counter-jihadist from our Radio Jihad Network, and that is Gaddy Edelman. On January 25th at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Holger and Gaddy have a very important show.
On Saturday night, January 25th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, The Awakening on Blog Talk Radio with host Holger Awakens will finally set the record straight in regards to the so-called Palestinians of the West Bank and Gaza. For far too long, Islamic propaganda and Western media dimitude have perpetuated the lie that there is a Palestinian people, that there is a land called Palestine, and that the Israeli people somehow occupy this land. This night, the 25th of January, the lie will die. Join Holger Awakens on this special night as he welcomes counterterrorism expert Gaddy Edelman to discuss just how the Palestinian fantasy was created, why it has gotten traction, and what the end result has been in the entire Middle East. The Awakening's presentation of The Palestinian Myth on Saturday, January 25th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Be there and learn the truth. Be there as the evil of the Middle East is dealt a death blow.
I expect to see all of you there January 25th, next Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is going to be a very important program. Now, I am moving into a topic. I want to talk to you about accommodation. I brought it up last Friday slightly. I lost that show, though. You won't believe this. I had a wonderful show that I taped, and I lost it completely. And somebody's just handing me something here. Thank you, hon. I lost my show. I lost my Friday show. Yeah. I deleted it. I don't know how I did it, but I did. And I was talking slightly about accommodation, but I did manage to rebook a show, 4 a.m., Saturday morning. Oh, my goodness. It was hell on wheels here. But I was talking about the issue of the York University professor, and that is Professor J. Paul Grayson, remember? No, you probably won't, because you probably didn't get the show because I deleted it. But what happened is that York University in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, they have satellite programs, as you know, in that you can attend class via satellite, right? Okay, no problem. Online satellite, yes. Satellite meaning that you can maybe go to your Skippity Skype and you can physically view the classroom, that sort of thing, the beauty of satellite. Well, particular course at the York University is a sociology course. And the professor, J. Paul Grayson, he got a letter from a student in October. And that was an accommodation request by a student enrolled in his classroom to be excused from a group assignment due to the student's firm religious belief that women and men should not intermingle. Now, what happens is a satellite course, online course, but you're required maybe, once a month to get together and engage in a workshop. Well, this student had a few problems with that, and Professor Grayson, he didn't know what to do with this. So he wrote to the dean of the Faculty of Liberal Arts and Professional Studies to say to them, I don't know what to do with this. What am I going to do with this? They told the professor to accommodate the student. As you recall, I brought up that his religion was not mentioned. We also realized that there are a few religions out there that have very orthodox beliefs about intermingling of the sexes. So what Professor Grayson did, he consulted two imams and a Jewish scholar and said, what am I going to do with this? All three of them came back to him and said, there is absolutely no reason why this student has to be self-segregated. So Professor Grayson thanked them very much. He returned to the student and said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to accommodate you. The student, he said, oh, okay, well, you know, thanks for getting back to me and thanks for handling it, and yeah, no problem. And he, of course, attended the workshops with the female students, and everything was hunky-dory. You would think that would be the end of it, right? That should have been the end of it, but it wasn't. Because the dean of the Faculty of Liberal Arts and Professional Studies came back at Professor Dean and said that we require you to respect the faculty's legal obligation to accommodate the religious practice of the student. And this is from Martin Singer, the dean of the university's Faculty of Liberal Arts and Professional Studies. Now listen to this. In a Friday letter released to the National Post, Mr. Singer expressed his dimitude. Oops, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I'm typing out loud again, aren't I? Mr. Singer expressed his sincere regret at the issue, but maintained that since the measure would not have had a substantial impact on the other students in the course, remember, it's an online course, he was bound by the Ontario Human Rights Code to have the request fulfilled. In quotations, he says, I am dismayed that the decision to accommodate has been characterized as an endorsement of the student's belief system and as a betrayal of York's decades-long efforts towards gender equality. You got to be kidding me. He outlined in a two-page letter at the crux of the dean's controversial decision was the fact that Professor Grayson had already allowed another student in the online course to make alternative arrangements for the group assignment. That is, where is that? I didn't see that. Did Mr. Grayson make an accommodation maybe for a disabled student who could not physically get to the workshop? Mr. Singer, you're not being forthright. The full context of your missus. You know what? Professor Grayson, he made an accommodation for a student, yes. Was that student disabled? Was that student incapacitated in which he could not get to the workshop? No. The student lived outside of the country. Remember, it's satellite online courses that York University in Toronto Ontario, Canada, offers. The student was an international student. So, of course, Professor Grayson is going to recuse him from duties of attending the workshops. But, hey, that did not matter. Oh, God. To Mr. Singer. Well, seeing as the professor made accommodations for another student, we felt that we had to continue our policy of tolerance. Martin Singer, yeah, he goes on to say that the student had apparently skipped the group assignment without having a substantial impact on the other students. And so Singer concluded that the sole grounds for different treatment was the professor's disapproval of the student's belief of place. He added that disapproval of belief is precisely the way that discrimination on grounds of creed is defined. Disapproval of belief is precisely the way that discrimination on grounds of creed is defined. Singer, you really have to blame that one because I don't get it. What creed is being discriminated? If you're talking about religion, let me fill you in. Okay. Islam is a creed of discrimination upon itself. Read 9-29 and maybe you'll get it. But, like I say, we don't know what religion this student is. Professor Grayson has an idea. Thus, the two is imams, rather, the two imams and a Jewish scholar. But Mr. Grayson does not want to disclose. Now, this is the dean's letter, right? This is from, where'd his name go again? You son of a bitch. Keep running away on me. Martin Singer. Last weekend, in a response to Singer's letter, Professor Grayson held that a geographical limitation is entirely different from a preference not to work around women, and the situations are not at all parallel. Boy, oh boy, did he ever nail that one. Absolutely. That one student, the international student who couldn't be there because he does not live in Canada. That's right. A geographical limitation is entirely different from a preference not to work around women. Those situations are not at all parallel. Professor Grayson went on to note an episode in the same class in which he gave an extension to a student whose parents had died, but denied an extension to a student who had simply been late returning from vacation. So, yeah, this is what this idiot dean is doing. He's twisting Professor Grayson's, his blessings, I guess, to because the word I'm looking for escapes me and it's going to pop into my head any moment now. I know it will. But Professor Grayson allowing or turning their work a little late, it's not at all parallel. He's right. When you have a parent who dies, you're recused from class, and that's the word I was looking for. Professor Grayson was allowing recusal. But when you have a student who wants to be dismissed from a workshop because he doesn't want to hang out with the woman. Well, hang on there, guys. Something is really going on here. Now, Professor Grayson, and I mentioned this at the beginning, he also asserted that he had gathered empirical evidence to refute the dean's claim that acceding to the student's request would not have had an impact on the woman in the class. Oh, it did, believe me. Because last fall, Professor Grayson, he gave a survey to one of his other sociology courses in order to gauge the class's reaction to a hypothetical case of gendergation on religious grounds. That's right. He took it to another course that he teaches. He proposed it as a survey, and he gauged it as a hypothetical case of gender segregation on religious grounds. When the female students reacted with almost uniform outrage, he concluded that were the male to be granted a substitute assignment, there would be collateral damage among female students. Now, while the dean's decision has provoked a storm of public outrage in the last week, well, it should, it included condemnation from the new Democratic Party leader, Tom Mulcair, and Justice Minister Peter McKay. It still had wide-ranging approval amongst the York University brass. Yeah, the brass were still hanging with the dean. Unbelievable. Now, according to the dean's letter, his decision had the support of York Center for Human Rights, University Provost Rhonda Lenton, the University Council, and the Office of Faculty Relations. Now, notably, a Thursday statement by the provost, and that was the first issued in the wake of Mr. Grayson's revelations, Professor Grayson, his revelations. It expressed support for the dean's position, while also reiterating the university's commitment to gender equality, inclusivity, and diversity. What? You got to be kidding me. No. Hello? Back it up. Beep, beep. No, it's not. You're not reiterating the university's commitment to gender equality, inclusivity, and diversity. No! You're engaging in apartheid. What is wrong with you? God, gee. Students' religion is not known, like I mentioned. This is why it led Professor Grayson to suspect that the student was either a follower of Orthodox Judaism or a conservative strain of, belonged to a conservative strain of Islam. One of the scholars that he took it to was Walid Saleed, and he's the director of the Institute of Islamic Studies at the University of Toronto. And he said that if the student is indeed Muslim, the request is still odd. Even Muslim women with covered faces have not objected to attending classes where genders mix or collaborate in activities with the opposite sex. So it is rather unusual, especially coming from a male. Wallace Silly, I appreciate your input, but hang on. We have a little issue here. And going to sidebar, we have a little thing called Sharia law. Okay. One, Muslim males technically do not have to separate themselves from female cohorts in the classroom. Second, we have Muslimas covering their faces and interacting with male cohorts in the classroom. Yeah, maybe in North America, maybe in the West. Don't mind me. I hit my cough button. The fact that the student relented so easily shows that he might have been unsure of what to think. And yes, when Professor Grayson said, no, I'm not going to accommodate you. No, you will attend the workshop if you are physically able to do so. And that student did. And the student actually thanked Professor Grayson for his time in noting his request. Professor Grayson stood his ground, grateful for that. The student respected Professor Grayson's stance, but it is the university brass now that we are dealing with, and that is shocking to me. Whether or not Professor Grayson has tenure, I do not know. All the same, it is his university course, and his decision should have been upheld, backed up, and respected by the dean of his department. I'm telling you. I was reading some of the comments here. This is from the National Post. What I'm going to do, I have not even peeked into my chat room since I opened up this show, so I'm going to go there now. But I have the link right here. It's from the National Post. And you can read it at your leisure later on. What is going on within our institutions? And I don't mean necessarily within just the institutions of higher learning. I mean what's going on all over the map, going on within our institutions. Why the accommodation? Good grief. I have people in my chat room, though, and I want to thank them. I do the show the old-fashioned way. Like Holger does. I have a black rotary dial phone. I have to call Mayberry, connecting. Hello, Mayberry. This is Kel Fritzy. Can you connect her with Block Talk Radio? Calling Mayberry. So which means I have one hand available in which to type. But I want to thank people who are joining me in the chat room. I want to thank Iggy Mom, Agador, Bigfoot, Doc. I have a guest joining me, Holger Awakens, Moving Forward, and Sue from New Mexico. Guys, thanks so much for being here. Calling Mayberry. I'm still waiting to see if Dear Jim can get here later on. If he can't, I'm going to shut the show a little short because there's another place Friday nights, and it's over here.
The Reactionary Speak Radio Program.
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
You know what I am? I'm a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do with one if I caught it.
The Reactionary Speak Radio Program.
I try to show the schemers how pathetic their attempts to control things really are.
The Reactionary Speak Radio Program.
Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos. Chaos. Oh, you know the thing about chaos? It's fear.
Friday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, here on BTR.
And sometimes I call into that show and join React's panel, and I create havoc. But yes. React is on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I usually close out my show a little after 8 o'clock so I can scoot over there and see how much damage I can do to his program. It is a great show, though. I have a few promos I want to play for you. I might do that throughout the show. One thing, though, I want to continue on this issue of accommodation. And here we are again. Accommodation gone wild. This is going to ruin our good intentions, guys. There is a fascinating story by Joseph Breen, and he put it in the National Post about the eggheads getting together to retire ideas that are past their best by date. Now, they note that ideas that were once considered groundbreaking have since become old and stale and need to be put to rest. They have to keep hanging on due to inertia or intellectual sentimentality. Hello. Hey, Martin, you sweet old dean there over there at York University, are you listening? Yep. The ideas are becoming old and stale. They need to be put to rest. Hanging around due to inertia and or intellectual sentimentality. Now, there is one expert. He reports that there are people who refuse to acknowledge the ideas that they grew up with are no longer cutting edge, but dated and near useless. The corollary of this, which suggests there are also plenty of new ideas that have been widely embraced, but might have been better left alone. If the notion of accommodation isn't already there, it's getting close. Yes. Bringing up Professor Grayson. Yeah. There's another example of accommodation going on here in Canada. There's a young lady by the name of Sonja Power. She's 17 years old. She's from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, who understandably she felt degraded when her martial arts school insisted on accommodating a male student who refused to touch women, being segregated with other female students on one side of the room, but drew a line when the male student started handing out leaflets suggesting women who wear clothing that highlight their figures are just asking for it and that men should belt their wives for moral misconduct. That's right. In Canada. I get on my soapbox about Canada quite a bit in that we do seem to have a bit of a higher ground when it comes to dealing with the scourge. I posted this article on my Facebook page yesterday. Just when I think Canada is getting it and we're making progress, this comes across. That's right. Sonja Power, or Sonja Power, she is of Dutch descent, my apologies. Her name would be pronounced Shonda. But if she is of English extraction, her name would be pronounced Sonia. Either way, yeah, she was segregated in her martial arts school course because a male student insisted on the accommodation, but it did not stop there. No, it did not. Look what this male student went on to do. He was handing out leaflets, suggesting women who wear clothing that highlights their figure, asking for it, and that men should belt their wives for moral misconduct. Good God. Now, I know, you're asking yourselves, well, gee, I'm sure that student was dealt with. I'm sure that he was expelled from that martial arts class. Wrong. Wrong. The owner of the school, his name is Steve Nickerson. He defended his accommodating ways, arguing that every student should have an equal opportunity to participate, even if respecting one student meant disrespecting an entire sex. Oh, good grief. Here we go again. Wow. And Agador, my pleasure. My pleasure. I was just sending Agador the link there. The dean at Toronto's York University? Yeah. He'd be totally one with Steve Nickerson. They would be, they'd be perfect together. Good grief. Getting back to the York University issue, Professor Grayson, he wrote the student back, and what he included in that was, I do not believe that we want to be known as a university in which the rights of female students can be compromised by religious concerns. And that should have been the end of that. That should have been the end of it. But no. Martin Singer, he had to go higher up. Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because it was good enough for the student. The student said, okay, fine, thanks. I was reading the comment section, and somebody had typed in there that perhaps the student was only accommodating his religious obligation to make a request, but actually really does like women and actually does not have a problem. Maybe his parents made him put in the request. So when Professor Grayson came back and said, no, I'm not accommodating you, the student said, oh, okay, thanks, no problem. But I don't understand why this went further. The Martin Singer. I'm going to find his link. Hey, Martin Singer, you're getting a bit of an email. Agador, God bless you. Agador said in the chat room, Kel, the ladies should hand out EDL, English Defense League flyers. Oh, Agador, that is perfect. I love that. I love that very much. If it's not an endorsement of religious intolerance, perhaps it's just an acknowledgement that the inmates have seized the asylum. The asylum in this case being Canada's various human rights tribunals. On the evidence, the goal of human rights tribunals is to force large groups of people to change their ways so that individuals can avoid changing their habits or beliefs. Get it? Human rights tribunals. We can take anybody to the Human Rights Tribunal here in Canada, it would appear. Yeah. You hurt my feelings, so I'm going to fuck you over in the Human Rights Tribunal, and I'm going to cost you a lot of money. Apparently we can do that. Martin Singer is accommodating that. He has opened up a way in which the so-called persecuted can take somebody like Professor Grayson to a human rights tribunal to ensure that their religious accommodation is recognized. Maybe Martin Singer is doing that. But maybe Martin Singer is also a cave-in and a dimmy in not backing up one of his charges at the University of York and telling Professor Grayson to accommodate this student because he doesn't want to deal with a Human Rights Tribunal lawsuit issue. The form letter, though, unbelievable. Who's running this joint anyway? And Doc, thanks. It's true. The inmates are definitely running the asylum. Do you want your daughter attending York University and being subjected to this apartheid? It is 2014. For God's sake, get over it. We don't have apartheid in Canada. We don't have it in the United States. We don't have it in Great Britain. We don't have it in Australia. We don't have it in New Zealand. We don't have it anywhere else in the West. They insist on their accommodations, and they compromise you, and they compromise me, and they compromise your child's education every time. Their little minion voices get out there. I don't want to hang out with women. I don't want to hang out with women. I can't do the course with women. Oh, shut the hell up. Put on your man pants. You enrolled in the course knowing full well what the course was all about, and you knew that there would be workshops involved. And now you are pushing the envelope. You're testing us. And guess what we're ending up with? Dimitude. Appeasement. Caving in to this student's request. Good God. I just scared the living crap out of my cat. Here, Freya. I'm sorry, Freya. Yeah. Mama's on the soapbox. I'm sorry, Freya. But, you know, like, the intolerance, it can spread, and it wouldn't be a surprise if it didn't. Because there are some incidents that will strike a nerve and set off a wave of reaction amongst people fed up with being forced to make margarine sandwiches for daughters, forced to play nice with men who think women should be belted if they get out of line. And to make sense of that sentence, I've omitted a bit of the article. There is a woman who's taking a school to the Human Rights Tribunal because she doesn't want the school using butter on their bread cafeteria. She's complained about it. They won't listen to her. They essentially told her to take a flying you-know-what. So now she's taken them to the Human Rights Tribunal because she doesn't want her daughter having butter on her bread. So some incidents will strike a nerve and set off a wave of reaction amongst people fed up with being forced to make margarine sandwiches for daughters, forced to play nice with men who think women should be belted if they get out of line. You guys can see this coming. Canada's impulse to accommodate people, it's a turning point. It's turning into an absurdist fetish, and it will only accelerate unless we stop it in its tracks. Accommodation. Holy smokes. I'm so late in the show. And still no Jim. That's okay. Jim, he listens to the show in archive, and I know. He is probably been called into work. That happens quite often with him on Friday evenings. At least once every 2 weeks, He has to work a late shift at work, and that's probably where he is, but he always listens to the show in archive. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play a song for Jim. And, of course, this is from Boston. That's more than a feeling. I'll see you back here in 4 minutes, guys. And welcome back, everybody. I think I've calmed down a little bit. And just to remind you, you're listening to the Red Fox Blogger, and I'm your host, Cal Fritzy. I think an F-bomb escaped from me. Okay. It happens. Thank goodness for freedom of speech. Thank goodness I'm protected under the First Amendment. And Agador, thank you for being here. I'm going to see you over at React's place a little later. One thing I do want to mention, though, is that I am so glad that A12 Igimum was here and that she is a co-host on one of my absolute favorite Tuesday evening programs, and that is Spin This, Heard on the Halls of Valhalla. They are keeping the memory of Loki alive. And so, Igimum, I am so grateful that you're over there at Halls of Valhalla, and Spin This is still a go Tuesday evenings. I love that program. Wow. You guys, if you have links, can you please put your links in the chat room for everybody to listen to or read about? Now, I am moving on. Agador brought up a really interesting point about whether or not we should be accommodating these people. He was rather aggrieved that the school would stop putting butter on their sandwiches. Yeah, this is the sort of garbage we deal with. Yeah. Parents complain about butter on sandwiches in the cafeteria. Oh, well, you know, my daughter has all these allergies and blah, 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 and everything else, and, oh, God, give me a break. I've had it up to here, though. You cannot see me. I wish I had a host cam so you could see me doing this. Wrapping rope around my neck. I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm toast. It's over. I'm gone. Or you could see me with the knife. This is, you know what, I can't swear because a lot of people listen to the show in archive. They might have kids around maybe tomorrow afternoon. I really have to temper myself, but you can tell when I'm really hot about something. You can just tell that I'm on the warpath, and you know what, when am I not? I'm always on the warpath about something. And I have quite a big mouth, and I use it quite a bit. I was relating this story. Well, two of them. I was relating that story about Sonia Power, or Sonja Power, if she is of Dutch descent. I was relating the story. Who wanted to be accommodated in not attending the workshop. And Martin Singer, the dean, who ordered Professor Grayson to reverse the decision to accommodate the religious practice of the student. Just when you think we're making progress, we're not. It seems that we are one step forward and two steps back. All these human rights tribunal cases going on, it is just flabbergasting to me. The federal government in Canada, they abolished the federal human rights tribunal. However, the provincial tribunals still exist, primarily in Ontario and British Columbia. These cases, the cases I cited to you, are taking place in Ontario. The land of the immigrant, I swear. Toronto, made up of, I have nothing against immigrants. I like Chinese people. I like people from Sweden and the UK and Australia. And, I like all those immigrants. Those immigrants are pretty groovy, and they contribute positively to the fabric of Canada. But I think you know where I'm going when I talk about the immigrant, quote-unquote, yeah, the scourge, the world's refuse that we get, yeah. They're the ones that are barking up our trees and making all the noises and creating all the problems. This is what they've done, too, is that they've glossed onto the Human Rights Tribunal, and they have found an avenue. Guess what I can do? I can take you to court. And it won't cost me a bloody dime, but it's going to cost you a lot. Call it a jizya, if you were. I'm going to switch gears. I did have a topic here that I might save that topic for Monday when Jeff and myself, or not, Jeff. I have Jeff on the mind. Hey, Jeff. How you doing, Jeff? What you wearing? Okay. When Tim and myself, okay, Jeff is going to listen in our cup and go, oh, my God, what is she doing? When Tim and myself have our Monday show at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I might save this topic for Monday for us to dissect, and that is the issue of Canadian officials telling CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, to shove it up their butts. I might be able to fit that in. But I do want to share something with you, and that does regard Tim. And hey, Tim, what you wearing? Okay, Kel, knock it off. Behave. Oh, behave. As you know, Tim Burton is being persecuted. I mean, he had something to say about a certain individual who was glossing tax dollars their money, okay? He is from the Tell Mama organization, and sorry, my page jumped. I think I have a certain somebody in my studio driving me absolutely nuts, and I don't know what to
do. Silence! I kill you!
Get out, Akbar. I mean it. Quit showing up in my chat room. My God. All right, back to topic, and I am talking about Tim Burton, who is my co-host, not only on the Monday Red Fox Blogger, but also on the Tuesday Radio G-Head Network program. There was a person who was called out for what he was, a shyster. This prominent individual who is actually given an order by the Queen herself for his humanitarian work, it turned out he was lying. So, Tim Burton, he took it to his Twitter account. He said that this prominent individual is a mendacious, grievance-mongering taquilla artist, because what he was doing with this Tell Mama website, and Tell Mama website is a page that Muslims can visit, and they can file an incident of harassment, discrimination, so on and so forth. Well, it turned out that this person was really over-reporting the postings on the Tell Mama Facebook page, or not Facebook page, my apologies, the Tell Mama website page. And he was called out. This guy was receiving national funding, Tell Mama, the page alive. Guess what? He was found out to be fudging the numbers just slightly. So Tim Burton, he took it to his Twitter account. And by the way, Tim Burton is Cat Strangler 101. You can look him up. You can go to Twitter, enter at follow the cat, and he's right there. And you can follow Tim, and Tim will follow you back. Tim Burton is also a host on Liberty Great Britain Radio. which is run by Paul Weston of the Liberty GB Party in the UK. Liberty GB has been instrumental in that they have been standing behind Tim Burton, and they are supporting him. They have set up a wonderful, wonderful page in which you can donate to help Tim, because it's totally unfair. Just like in Canada, when you're called to the mat by the Human Rights Tribunal, as happens in Great Britain, this is costing Mr. Burton, and that's kind of weird saying that because he's just Tim to me, but in, you know, for the sake of deference, it's costing Mr. Burton a great deal of out-of-pocket expense to defend his opinion and his freedom of speech. Imagine that. What did Tim say on his link? He describes this individual as he's a prominent individual as a mendacious, grievance-mongering taquilla artist, in which he is. Yeah. This project called Tell Mama, it claimed that there had been a sustained wave of attacks and intimidation against British Muslims after the killing of drummer Lee Rigby, which we know occurred in May of 2013, with 193 Islamophobic incidents. That's what Tell Mama reported. And it rose to 2012 by that same weekend. That prominent individual, I'm going to name him. I don't care. He can come after me. Fayez Mukay, the founder of Tell Mama. He said he saw no end to this cycle of violence, and he described it as unprecedented. And these claims, they were unquestioned, and they were repeated in mainstream media. But what Tell Mama and Mukay did not mention was that 57% of the 212 reports referred to activity that took place only online, mainly offensive postings on Twitter and Facebook, or that further 16% of the 212 reports had not been verified, and not all the online abuse, quote unquote, even originated in Britain, contrary to the Tell Mama group founded by Fayez Mukay. Contrary to their claims of a cycle of a violence and a sustained wave of attacks, only 17 of the 212 incidents, 18%, involved the physical targeting of people, and there were no attacks on anyone serious enough to require medical treatment. So this guy's running around at the Tell Mama site. He's posting all this crap. The mainstream media is eating it up. And they're reposting this. It turns out that this guy is a fraudster to the highest extent. Paul Weston published this. He put it on Liberty GB. And it's right there for you. I am so pleased that he is defending Tim Burton as Tim endures this latest atrocity against his freedom of speech. We have to be clear about something, okay? Fayez Mukay, he is one of many Islamic propagandists, and they strive to present Islamophobia as a primary cause of disharmony in the UK. They also do that in Canada, the United States, Australia. Now, the reality we know is that if militant Muslims were to cease bombing, raping, beheading, and abusing the people of the West, the underlying Islamophobia in our society, it might disappear. Yeah. Mikey, what do you think of that? Why don't we have ourselves a little deal here? Why don't get together with your co-religionist and tell them to quit blowing us up? And maybe we will stop calling you names and hurting your bloody hurt feelings. You know what? Dacious, grievance-mongering, Takiya artist. Fezia Munghe. I dare you to come after me. I'll take you on. I would love to. I would love for you to call into my radio program. I'm not afraid of you people. I'm not afraid of you Islamists. Not by a long shot. If I were, I wouldn't be here right now. Hang on. You know what? Holy smokes. Guys, bear with me for a second. I got something wrong.
Silence! I kill you!
I called him Akbar. No, Bigfoot, thank you. Bigfoot said, no, that's Ahmed. Is Ahmed running around my studio? Okay, Ahmed, get over here. I got ya. All right, back to the article. Oh, gosh, that's funny, though. Akbar, Ahmed. How could I confuse the two? Oh, my goodness sake. But tell Mama by Fayez Mughe, they have previously threatened numerous members of the public with libel actions for criticizing it on Twitter. And one of these tweet criminals, they opined something. They said they are just trying to shut down debate. And that's exactly what they do. They try to shut down debate. Debate within the West. You see, we have freedom of expression in Canada, which means that I have to offer qualifiers when I am talking about rather contentious issues. Unlike the United States, we don't have the First Amendment. We don't have freedom of speech. We have freedom of expression. I believe that is the same in Great Britain. In the United States, I could say person is beneath contempt. I could say, Mughe, You're an idiot. I think that you should be charged with inciting dissent, whatever, this and that and the other thing, and you are mundacious, Takiya liar. In the United States, I could say it outright like that. But in Canada, I would have to qualify it with, in my opinion, I feel. And there you go. See the difference? Like I say, though, there is a PayPal account set up right here on Liberty GB. I also set up a PayPal account on my site. I'm going to repost that. Well, it's in my blog, redfoxblogger.blogspot.com. You'll see it there. My apologies, too, about my blog in that it was compromised. And I had to set up another chapter of my blog. I'm still working on that, but I promise that my blog will be back in order very soon. I am out of time, though. I'm running down. I want to share this with you, though, before we go. As you know, when I am sitting as a panelist on Jeff Mitchell's program at East Anglian EDR radio show, we are so supportive of our military. There is another lady who's working very hard out there, and her name is Allison. We know her as Rockstar in the chat rooms. She has started an organization. It's been going on. It is called Unforgotten Heroes. I'll let Allison explain to you what that is, or Allison's spokesperson.
For many of our vets, the real battle is only beginning. With high unemployment, post-traumatic stress disorder, and life-altering injuries, coming back to civilian life can be a difficult journey. We can't wait for the government to solve the problems our veterans face. We must help those who have given so much in defense of our freedom. Unforgotten Heroes is an organization dedicated to assisting our veterans in whatever way is needed in their transition back to civilian life. Please visit unforgottenheroes.org to find out what you can do to help. You can also find Unforgotten Heroes on Facebook. And remember, no hero should ever be forgotten.
And let's be that a hero to save us. I'm not going to stand in the way. I'll hold on to the wings of the eagle. Watch him go fly away.
If you are sick and tired of listening to the lies you hear from politicians and the mainstream media about Islam, and you want to hear the truth about the crimes that are committed in its name in your country and all around the world, then please tune in to the East Anglian EDL radio show on blogtalkradio.com on Thursdays, Fridays and Sundays at 8:30 GMT and 3:30 EDT. For analysis, updates and news about Islam without any of the lies and political correctness that you hear in the mainstream media, and for updates, news and information about the English Defence League, then come and join us on Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to all our previous broadcasts at any time by visiting the East Anglian EDL Radio Show archive. The East Anglian EDL Radio Show, the official radio show of the English Defence League.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to those promos. I'm very, very proud of Allison's movement to help the veterans via Unforgotten Heroes. I'm also very proud to be part of the East Anglian EDL radio program. I'm very proud to be teamed up with Tim on my Monday afternoon shows. And we are both very proud to be part of the Radio Jihad Network. I took you quite a few places today. A lot of news. Boy, oh boy. I really did want to highlight Tim, though, at the end of the program. Tim is not an Islamophobe. Tim is very honest. He said nothing wrong. He did not cite anything that was untruthful. But PC gods, what they be, they've decided that they're going to take him to what I consider to be a tribunal. And that bothers me greatly. Oh, hang on a minute. You know what? Guess who's here? Would this be a certain Jim?
Allah Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Hi, Kel. How you doing?
Jim, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. I almost forgot to call tonight.
Oh, that's okay.
I've
been doing stuff all over the place. Oh, my goodness. I've been covering so much territory. It's unbelievable. I was talking about, oh, boy. I've been talking about, in particular, what I've been discussing, Jim, is the issue of human rights tribunals and how an accommodation. We had an issue here in Canada where a student asked to be recused from a workshop because according to his religion, he could not mingle with the female students, and the university accommodated him.
Well, it's just like, I was watching on YouTube Austrian politician berating the Turkish ambassador at the their halls of Congress, so to speak. They had a Catholic priest who was stabbed in the heart 8 times. And the people of peace tried to behead this priest. They left enough skin where his head was hanging off of him. And this Austrian, as a matter of fact, I put it on my Facebook page. I put it on Facebook. And only a couple hundred people seen it. And this guy went off on the deep end against, he was polite. And I guess somebody in the parliament there, another Austrian, he was like, hey, cut it out. You can't say this to this the ambassador from Turkey. And he basically told him, take a hike. He says, we've bent over. Turkey has sent us the scum, and they don't want to intermingle with us. When we want them to intermingle, you tell them not to intermingle with the infidels of the world. And it was a fascinating. It's about a 5-6 minute video, and I'm sitting there listening. And then today I hear on the radio that the Council of American Islamic Relations are very happy now, thanks to Eric Holder, where they're not going to be doing much profiling anymore, if not at all. So
that's unbelievable, Jimmy. I have been beating my truncheon on my desk, and everybody in the chat room and listening online, they have certainly heard it. And you come along with just another beautiful story from the religion of peace, Jim.
Peace. it's unbelievable. I mean, the bottom line is, people still refuse to understand what this is about. And, and I just feel bad for them because, the bottom line is, it's going to take something very disastrous up in Canada, as it did happen here in 9/11 in the States here, to wake your country up and our country wake up again. I mean, what Holder did, ordering the Department of Justice to cool it with the racial and religious profiling. So who knows who's going to be coming over the border? It's... just open up the spigot and just let the water run loose and, it's just like, we've discussed before that, okay, if there's one family in your neighborhood, they're very nice and polite, you get another family and they're nice and polite, then all of a sudden out of the 7 homes in your street, 4 of them are Muslims, and the next thing you know, you got trouble. That offends them, this offends them, or they don't like the smell of your pork being cooked on your barbecue or anything like that, then all of a sudden you got all sorts of troubles. It's a shame.
Yeah. I put a slide in the show highlights there, Jim, and one is of a fox and a rooster, and they're kind of snuggling up together. And what I should have done, I should have taken it to my Photoshop and captioned it with, what could possibly go wrong? We have definitely got a fox in the hen house, and that I hate using that analogy because, as you know, I am the red fox. But we have, okay, you know what? I'm going to use another analogy. We have an elephant in the room, and we're ignoring that elephant, and it's stomping all over us. And, Jim, that story you just related is unbelievable.
They had the guy on some chairman from CARE on the on BZ Radio this morning. Well, this afternoon I was listening to it, and he's quite happy that they're going to stop this racial and religious profiling. They don't want to know what country you're coming in from. This is it. I mean, you go over there now. It's just like I was watching a couple the other day, YouTube vids. And, you know, of course, Saudi Arabia, filthy rich country, and they're importing immigrant workers from Ethiopia. Ethiopia is what? It's a Christian country, supposedly. And they're showing on these vids, these Saudis beating the hell out of all these Ethiopians. Oh, he's Ethiopian. They're filming this. Of course, everybody films everything that you do today. Everything goes on YouTube or whatever. And these poor Ethiopians are over there just trying to make a living to support their families back home. And these Saudi Muslims, the people of peace, you know, here they are beating the crap out of these poor folks. You know, but yet then, of course, you know, it's a non-news issue with the state-controlled media here in our country, in the states here. But, you know, I mean, you just look and see and, you know, it's just like I tell people, you know, about Hillary Clinton. Educate yourself. Educate yourself once you have a good idea, a basic idea. That's all that's needed. Then you can take it from there and then educate the next person behind you. You know, it's
how is it? I don't know how you're going to deal with that when, if that will that indeed become a policy in that the Obama administration, they don't want religious data or any background data that way, or? Like.
Well, it seems like it, because I really don't fully understand. But like I said, basically what it comes down to is you come in from Saudi Arabia where was it, 19 of the 21 hijackers came from. We don't want to know where you're coming in from now, okay? We don't want to know what your religion is. So, I mean, but welcome anyway and try to kill us. You know, because they made a case like the Sarnev brothers.
That is insanity. That's nuts.
Yep. Well, that's Eric Holder.
That's crazy talk, Obama.
Yep.
Like, what are you doing to our country? And I say that collectively because what happens to the United States happens to the rest of us. This is why I get a lot of people saying, you know, you're a Canadian. What's your interest in the United States? Well, it's my business to be interested. First of all, I have never met a warmer country. The people are so warm and inviting. I have never met a kinder people. And what I see happening to my American cousins, it really upsets me. And plus, the political end. What happens in the United States? If the United States go, thus goes the rest of us. And Obama is pulling another stunt like this. Oh, for God's sake, somebody please. Stick a fork in it, Obama. It's done.
Yeah, because who was it? They had Holder on. I think Fox was the only news station to carry it, too. You know, I've been getting into a little debate here and there on Facebook. You know, you might hate Fox. You might think they're brainwashing things or they're liars. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm so thankful that they kept kicking Benghazi. I am so glad because finally it was a bipartisanship. But they, as Dianne Feinstein came out, well, Hillary's name was only mentioned two times. Well, they're just covering it up because they still want her to run for the presidency. I don't know what this woman would do with the current situation and with the Muslims. You know, I mean, I don't put much stock in her. You know, but like I said, Fox had it and Holder standing there behind the podium, proud as a peacock, saying that he's ordering the Department of Justice. But yet then. Allegedly now, I'm not the expert, but allegedly there are members who are very in Obama staff and along with the Department of Justice that are very sympathetic towards the Brotherhood and various other anti-West countries. You know, that, you know, that are in, you know,
yeah.
I mean, like you said, the fox is in the hen house. Well, I look at it this way. The cat is in there with the rats, you know, down there.
Yeah.
It's
don't know what you are going to do with this administration over the next 2 years. Like, I know you have the by-elections coming up this year.
Yep.
But all the same, you still have essentially 3 more years of Obama
What I'm hoping for, because just before Christmas, like snakes on the grass, both parties, Democrat and Republican, the chair of the Finance Committee for the House, which is controlled by the Republicans, what the heck is his name? I can't think of his name right now. And the chair for the Budget Committee for the Senate, Patty Murray, who's a Democrat, Paul Ryan for the Republicans. They sit down and they come up with a budget, and they both agreed upon it. And what they did to the military retirees and disabled veterans and various other veterans programs that veterans do need, they cut. They took an axe and started cutting away. The only reason it got passed, because the Senate, which is controlled by Democrats here, and along with 6 traitors, especially John McCain, who was a POW, served the military, some of them said the retirees and disabled veterans have it made too easy. It's too easily made for them. All right, and so they cut the benefits, but yet then, you know, we just gave Pakistan 2 months ago $1.2 billion in aid. I don't know how much of it was economic. I don't know how much was military, but it was tied up because, you know, Pakistan wasn't, you know, doing their job against the Taliban. But it was released a little over two months ago.
So they can give foreign aid like that. And in the interim, they're going to cut back on military, the vets, and their benefits. And not only that, Jim, they can't even fix their own infrastructure. What happened to revitalizing communities? What happened in Michigan? What is happening all over the – like, there are so many communities in dire needs right now in the United States. $70 million went over to the Middle East as well as Pakistan. That $70 million, I bet there's a lot of people, say, in Dearborn, Michigan, that probably could have, well, maybe Dearborn, Michigan.
But Detroit.
Let's go with Detroit. Yeah, like Detroit, they would have been grateful for that money to rebuild their infrastructure and rebuild their employment base.
Now, like I said, you know, going back to the cuts for the military, it was just announced the other day, I think it was $230 million is going over to the Syrian refugees that are in Turkey.
Yes.
And I'm scratching my head when I heard that. I says, well, where the hell is Saudi Arabia with all that money that they've blood-sucked us, you know, took our blood, our money, they sucked it right out of our wallets along with Canada and the rest of the world. They're not doing too much of anything. You know, I mean, and then Obama is allegedly going to be allowing in something like 10 to 20,000 of these refugees in the United States to resettle them here. And I'm, you know, when I heard that, I'm saying there's something wrong. I mean, we still have a nearly 7% unemployment rate. These people are going to be coming in, sucking me and every other working American dry. Because, oh, it's the good thing to do. I know I go to church. I'm trying to be a good Christian. But, you know, how can you deal with something like this when those type of people come over here and they're going to cause trouble somehow, some way? I'm offended by this. I'm offended by that. And I'm going to have to change my lifestyle, my way of life. No way. You know, you're welcome to come here.
Absolutely.
But you can go home if you don't like it, you know. But, this
administration. They're not going home. That's the whole problem. They're going to come over here, and they're going to totally drain our social safety net. They're going to burn holes in our social safety net, and they won't care. They're going to enjoy the fruits of the back-breaking labor of the people of the United States and Canada and anywhere in the West, the work that we have created to create these great nations, and they'll come over and they're going to walk all over us and they're going to put holes in us. Oh.
You know what you
and,
what you said.
I'm just reading. Oh, Jim, I'm just reading the chat room, and Doc just said that he heard on the way home from work that from the office that the United States is sending $12.5 billion per month to Brazil to subsidize cotton farmers for of over $500 million so far.
Okay, now on that topic, during the Obama first administration, he went down to Brazil. I forget the woman's name, the president of Brazil, handed her a check for, I think it was $3 billion to help them with their offshore oil, petrol gas. And before he left Brazil, Obama looked at her and their parliament. He says, and we will be the biggest importer of your oil. Well, guess who has their hands into petrogas? George Soros.
Oh, yeah. And I just did a quick Google search, and the president of Brazil, her name is Dilma Rousseff.
Yeah, and are we seeing any oil coming up from Brazil? You know, he gave my money away. Then he stops off at Colombia, hands them $2 billion to build new refineries, which we could build here, put Americans back to work, which he won't. And he gives them the money to build refineries to refine the oil that we're going to be getting from Brazil. And we have it all right here between you, between Canada and the United States.
Yeah.
We've got so much oil in that strip there that runs from North Dakota, South Dakota, right up until, was it Alberta? I think that's north of those states, Montana, Wyoming.
Alberta has the Keystone XL pipeline.
Yeah, well, you see that train
accident.
And Obama
wants nothing to do with it.
Yeah, well, you saw that train accident, and people are saying that, well, that train accident would not have happened if they had the Keystone pipeline running.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
But, you know, like I said, you know, his mantra, you know, hope and change, and, you know, you hopeless idiots out there that voted for him, I hope you like your change, you know. But,
hope and change. Well, he certainly said he would change America, and we're certainly seeing that. I was on a radio program last night, and that was Far Right No Apologies, and we were talking about the Canadian healthcare system versus Obamacare. We're not going to get into that one, but I am an outsider looking in. I have a vested interest in ensuring that the United States of America is not compromised, and it is being compromised by this administration. And Doc just said something in the chat room that they have the administration, they've asked people not to file their tax returns early because they don't have the money to refund anybody who's entitled to a refund.
Well,
good grief.
Yeah, well, China will write us another check, you know. Let's get deeper and deeper into that. I want to back up on what you said, you know, a few minutes ago there about, you know, what's going to be done. I was watching a YouTube video on the French Foreign Legion. And back when the French Foreign, when France, you know, granted Algeria their independence in 1962, the French Foreign Legion was sold out by, De Gaulle. The French Foreign Legion tried to assassinate him. I didn't know that. And I'm looking at this video, and everything, they had a Legionnaire sniper waiting for him, but they changed his route. And, you know, I mean, here I tell people, I says, you know, with this, the way things are going here, there was a movie made some year way back, you know, back in the 60s. Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas was in the movie, and it's called 7 Days in May.
I knew you were going there.
Great movie. Great movie. And Obama, you know, he's firing all these generals, colonels, and other senior officers out of the military. You know, I mean, I think somewhere along the line, you know, I fantasize, of course, you know, maybe 7 days in May will happen in February, March, April, May, you know. I mean, because the bottom line is, I mean, it's he's just taken his country, and he's the great divider. That's all there is to it. There's no other word.
Well, he certainly is also the great communicator when it comes to, you know what, I don't even want to use that phraseology because I loved Ronald Reagan so much. I miss Ronald Reagan so very much. But he is the great, endorser, let's say that,
yeah.
To the Middle East politicals, as it were. This guy is handing over the United States to the Middle East.
I mean,
he's determined. He's determined.
I mean, you know, like I think I wrote it on, you know, one time we were on Facebook there, me and a few other people, and I said, you know, you can go back to the Jimmy Carter administration when the news was still the real news at one time here in this country, that, you know, on a Sunday you would see Jimmy Carter and Rosalind Carter and Amy Carter going to church. Same thing with Nixon. All the presidents...
Yeah.
Up until now, have you ever seen the news camera crew or the news period, well, state-controlled media, show him going to church? At least one time.
You know what? He lied about that, too. I think when he first became president, he was shown walking into a church for a couple of Sundays. And then they came out that because... You know, he's the president, and he wanted to protect his family, that they had in-house church services in the White House.
Yep.
What a freaking liar.
Yep.
And I said freaking people. I didn't use the F-word. But what a freaking liar.
Yep. I mean, everybody went to, at least one time, you at least saw it on TV, and you say, oh, that's nice. That's really nice. Maybe inspire other people to go to church. But... You know, he doesn't. And like, you know, like they said, they had, what, like 20,000 Muslims with their asses up in the air down there praying on the White House lawn?
Yeah.
What an insult. What an insult. You know? But, you know, I mean.
And he can't even vacation in Camp David. He can't even stay close to home for Christmas. I mean, at least George W. Bush, when Christmas vacation came around, he stayed in the White House because he wanted his staff to have the day off so that they could enjoy Christmas with their families. What does this tool do? He runs off to Hawaii. And what's he do? He leaves the moocher in Hawaii because it's a birthday present.
And Air Force One.
Yeah, he comes back on Air Force One, and that costs mega dollars per hour to fly that damn thing. It comes back to Washington. Now Air Force One has got to fly back to Hawaii and pick up a moocher. Like this guy, his audacity, it knows no bounds.
Well, plus he also had the gall while he's in Hawaii golfing, criticizing Congress for going home for the holiday, Christmas. I don't want to say holiday. It's Christmas to me. It's the Christmas season.
It's Christmas. Absolutely.
Criticize them. And I'm saying to myself, well, you know, I mean, I just wonder how many of these ultra-liberals are actually having second-thought doubts about this idiot. I mean, I'd really like to know, like, even still today, I like to call her the Wicked Witch of the East, Hillary.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, she's still like the front runner. And I put it out there and I asked people, as a matter of fact, I saw that almost like what I've been asking, like, you know, when your liberal friends start talking about Hillary this, Hillary that, ask her, what did she do? What did she do as Secretary of State besides travel 1,000,000 miles? She didn't do anything as a senator. Back in 2007, they have her on tape saying that there will be Hillary care, well before Obamacare.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And, you know, and like I said, you know, people, oh, she'll make a great president. And I says, tell me why. What makes her, I says, all she is going to be a white female version of Obama. That's all.
She's got Benghazi blood on her hands.
Well, according to the report,
I wonder if the American populace, like the what are they referred to? The underinformed voter.
Yep.
Will they remember Benghazi? Will they remember Hillary Clinton in the tribunal hearings? And will they remember when she said, "We've got four dead Americans. What difference does it make?" Will they remember that when she tries to approach the podium in 2016? My dream is that I want her to run as a Democratic for the presidential nomination, because my dream is that she'll be standing on her stage with all those Hillary for Clinton for president, Hillary Clinton for president, and she'll be standing there and she'll be offering her concession speech. That's my dream.
Well, what's going to happen is that it happened, I think, when Al Gore was running. Usually when you go into the military, your views, you pay attention to what's going on the political scene here back home, if you're not overseas, but you still follow things. And there was a lot of military ballots missing during when Al Gore was running.
Oh, yeah. George Bush. Yeah.
The Democrats, I mean, this is what I believe, my opinion from my heart. I honestly believe that the Democrats are afraid of the young men and women who go into the military today. They're afraid of them voting Republican. Well, there's not much choice because neither party is really, you know, helpful. But I think I just want those who have served, who are still serving, just remember what party went after the retirees and disabled veterans' benefits. It was the Democrats. So, yeah, and the Republicans are at fault, too, but it was the Democratic-controlled Senate. And just remember what Hillary did. She left four Americans to die, and under any circumstances, we were taught we don't leave anybody behind. We do everything possible to get our brothers out of harm's way.
And Jim, I, you have to, we're down to 5 minutes, and I want you, if you could come back, next Friday. I'm so excited to have you back. It has been such a long time since I've heard your voice, and the listeners are just ecstatic to hear you as well. Jim, please, I'm going to get in touch with you. I want to set something up about that with you, and we'll get together and bring that to the listeners if you're available.
Sure. I can't see why not.
Absolutely.
And like I said, I forgot tonight, you know, because I was watching some of them vids, and I looked at the little clock on my computer. I said, oh, my God, I told her I'd call her in. I got to call, you know.
No worries. Are you kidding? We're glad to have you back. It is wonderful to hear your voice. Oh,
and it was
Jim.
It was nice talking with you the other day there with Tim, too, you know.
Absolutely. Our debut show on Radio Jihad Network. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, it was a great night. It was a banner night. It had been so long since I heard from you. I was going, hello, 0182, what's your name? And hi, it's Jim. Jim! I just about dropped out of my chair. Jim! Jim's here!
But
on that note, I better hang us up because we are really running down the clock.
Okay, so as I like to say, everybody out there, God bless America, God bless everybody out there, and remember, ask your liberal friends, what has Hillary done? And just look at the expressions on their faces.
Ladies and gentlemen, on that note, I want you to heed Jim's words. I want to thank you, and Jim, I want to thank you.
I want to thank you for being out here.
I want to thank everybody, you betcha, for being here. Guys, have a great weekend. I'll see you back here Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, geez, I think I'll call in sick Monday.
Jim, call in sick.
Okay. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
Shut up! Oh my God, I don't care!